This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. And we welcome you to the WPGM Community Forum. We've taken the mic today to the Danville Area Community Center for a discussion of the center and what they do and what they're hoping to do in the future. They have undertaken a capital campaign, and that's going well. We're going to talk about that today and see what the plans for that money are when the campaign is complete. We're joined by their chief operating officer, Heather Lawball. She's been with the center for several years, but took over as COO earlier this year. Heather, thanks for joining us on the program.
Heather, let's begin with a look at the past before we look at the future and this capital campaign that's underway. The center's been around for close to 40 years now, but it wasn't always smooth sailing, correct? Can you give us that little bit of a history lesson?
Sure, yeah. It's actually 37 years young, we like to say, and very well loved. It was opened in December of 1986, and it was created as a dream, almost, of a lot of local people that felt the need for a different building, a larger building with more accessibility to different activities other than the YMCA that was currently being used up until that point at the Thomas Beaver Library. So some people know that history. That was the old Y, we call it. And as this was being built, it was created as a grassroots efforts from a lot of local people that like to see the development of the building. And back in 1986, this was actually built from $2 million that was raised through vaudeville acts and kite festivals and different donations from local clubs, everything from sewing club all the way up to just children in general that were doing things like penny wars in their classes and things like that. So it's a very well-loved building from that point forward. But there's always been rough spots because we're a true 501c3 nonprofit, which means we basically get our funds from memberships, programs that we run like swim lessons, group exercise classes, memberships, grants, and things like that. So that's how the money comes in, and that's the way the money is spent. We think it's really important that the funds that are raised or given to us or even earned through programs is spent very wisely, and we do our best to do that for everyone that's served in the facility.
Any idea on the kind of the impetus to start this? I mean, who were the people that really said, this is a need in the community? And, you know, how did that kind of formulate?
That was through various community members. So I knew a lot of them as a child because this building was built in 1986. I can tell I was in sixth grade. And the crazy part is to now be the director here and be able to continue that program and that process. But it was very instrumental from people like Mr. Jack Metzer. He was a wonderful part of this community. Marty Walzer, the Sierra family. There are so many names that I can remember and faces I can see in my mind that were instrumental in helping do the fundraising for this place, and they continue to support this facility, and as well as be board members throughout the years. But that's how it was created, and that's the same passion that's still here in the renovations that are expected in the near future.
How does this kind of compare to facilities in other communities in this area?
It's very similar. It's a community center, so it's very similar to a Y, but we are not Y affiliated. But we offer the same kind of programs, so for everything from silver sneakers classes, group exercise classes, from Zumba to kickboxing to traditional yoga. And then we also experiment with other things like aerial yoga, Pilates, all the way to swim lessons for people of all ages, before after school care for children, for summer camp programs and things like that. The one thing, though, that is different is we stand alone. You know, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we don't have any kind of major sponsorships through corporations, although we'd love to have them. But, yeah, that's the big thing that sets us apart. We are also not tax-supported in any way, shape, or form. So that's a big difference from some of the other community centers that are spread throughout Pennsylvania and other states. They are usually tax-supported. We are not. And that's why I like to really stress to people that we are a truly a true 501c3 nonprofit, and donations are always welcome.
I've always been impressed, I think, by the building itself. I mean, it's just a unique kind of facility. I mean, when you walk in, it's just, you feel like you're walking into a different world from what you're used to living in.
Yeah, it's 38,000 square feet, two stories, everything from a six-lane pool heated indoors to group exercise studio, an area where kids or adults can just sit and relax or do homework or meet up with friends and have coffee. We have a multi-space community room that people can rent for birthday parties or meetings, all the way down to downstairs. We have a locker room, a gym, fitness areas throughout upstairs in the lower area. So it is a nice facility, but it has definitely changed throughout the years and will be going through some extensive renovations in 2024.
And as part of the campaign, I'm assuming you have a display in the front lobby here of newspaper articles going back over the years. And I think all of them, I either delivered the newspaper or I read it while I was in the in radio, because I did both. So there were some lean years where they didn't even know if it was going to stay open. I mean, this is it's not just like you started it and it smooth sailing.
Yes, memberships go up and down. You know, you have things that happened in a pandemic where doors had to be closed on purpose for the safety of a community. There's been everything in the 37 years. So, yeah, the timeline is very interesting to see. It's something new. One of our staff, our wonderful staff, I can't stress it enough. We have wonderful, great staff that's here that jumped in and decided to do this project in order to help us with the awareness of what we've done since 1986. And yeah, there were news articles that clearly stated we need help. We need to help save our center, whether it was because the membership might have been down that year or utilities have gone up in the last several years. So that takes a chunk of our money that was never forecasted, has never been planned, to the pandemic that we just went through, in which drastically changed the way our memberships turned down for a while and have now just been starting to go up because of the comfort level of everyone being back into group places and also just being able to share spaces again, so safely, I should say.
With so much going on here, so much of the time, give me an idea of what kind of staff there is. I mean, how many people are there that keep this running?
Yeah, the staff, I cannot never say this enough. Our staff is amazing, wonderful, kind, passionate. We have everything from high school students all the way up to people in their 70s, sometimes 80s that are hired here. We have the staff, amazingly, we have about 4 full-time staff members, and all the rest are 35 to 50, depending on the season, part-time staff. So they are our certified lifeguards, certified group exercise instructors, front desk staff, child care staff for summer camp, as well as our before-after school care programs. All of them are wonderful, committed staff members that are just doing an amazing job. Like our front desk staff people, I kind of joke, but I always say that they're like octopuses. They can answer a phone, answer a question for somebody standing in front of them, do something on the computer, all with a smile on their face, doing the best that they can do while they're multitasking like no other. So they really do an amazing work every single day. And if it weren't for those staff members coming to work on time, being here, greeting our members, making sure that they're doing everything from keeping members safe in the lower fitness area to helping them on the basketball court or in the group exercise room or down in the pool, our swim instructors, you know, the patience that they have for teaching children and adults how to swim is amazing. Our aquatics director, all the swim instructors, they're of all ages. That's the amazing part of this community center, is we have community members working the facility for our community. So I think it's a wonderful mix.
It's one of these places that people that come here all the time, it's things change, things get added, and it's just you kind of come to, it's just part of the thing. But for you guys behind the scenes, it proves that you're always on top of everything.
We have to be. Nothing's ever perfect all the time, but we do a darn good job to try to serve a lot of people. I know in just 2022, we had over 60,000 visitors come in this facility. So that means they could be members logging in to work out. They might have been guests to come in to use the building to go swimming with their family. They might have come in to watch their grandchildren in a swim meet, all those things. So we serve a lot of people, and I don't think that people realize it's not just the memberships. It's people coming in and out every single day for whatever they need from this building, whether it's a program, an ongoing program, a one-time event. We do a lot for a lot of people.
Okay. And you know, something's become part of the community when almost everyone refers to it by kind of a nickname, the DAC.
Yes, it's kind of funny because you can tell if somebody's been a local for a long time because they call it the REC. From when I was a kid, it was called the REC because when they came out of the Y, which is where I learned how to swim, and this facility was built, we called it the REC Center. So it was always the REC. And anybody above my age, which I will not say how old I am, we'll call it the REC. And then anybody younger than me, a lot of them call it the DAC. So it was funny because I moved away for 20 years, and when I came back, some of the things people were saying to me, oh, yeah, the DAC, the DAC, the DAC. And I said, what is this place? And then when I realized they were saying about the swim lessons at the DAC or things like that, I was like, oh, the REC? And so I realized that was like the new name for the Danville Area Community Center, which is great.
So note to self, use the DAC and I'll appear younger.
It's okay, but we'll take it either way. Okay. As long as we're still on the forefront of people remembering us, it's a wonderful thing after 37 years.
And certainly that seems to be the case. I mean, there's not too many people in Danville that would say the what? I mean, either way, it's the REC or the DAC, but they know it's here.
Definitely. Absolutely. And the nice thing, too, is I have to say, you know, we have memberships of all kinds, but we have daily passes that people can use. But the other thing that we hear a lot of is when we have older people will say, they'll come in and say, I have my insurance. I'm 65. So a lot of programs that we offer, or I should say memberships, they are covered by their insurance. They don't have to spend a dime out of pocket. It's something that they earned, actually, once they're 65. I wish it would be younger, but something, though, at least that they're given as part of their health insurance, with some health insurances, is that they can get a membership for free. And I know when people are 65, a lot of them are on fixed incomes, and that really helps them. But not only for their fitness, but they're getting out into the community and they're continuing to be part of the community. And that's a huge, huge piece here, which I forgot to mention earlier, but I think it's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now let's get to that capital campaign, which has been going on. How was the decision made to take that step and for what reasons?
Sure, it's a great step. We're excited. In 2022, the fall, we were approved for a RACP grant. It was $1 million grant, and it was a matching grant. So we knew in the decision of deciding to actually accept it and run with it that it was going to be a lot of work. But we were ready for it because we knew this building needed a major renovation. Not an expansion, just a renovation to the existing 38,000 square feet. So we jumped into it in 2023, and a wonderful team, Harry Mathias, came on board with us and helped us out with doing some of the quiet campaign portion. So we were able to get, currently we are at about $1.2 million of the matching. So we matched that $1 million of the RACP. And our goal was to match $1.5 million as the project is looking closer to that $2.5 million total. And so we're really excited that we made it public, the capital campaign. We had a family fun day in October, and we sent out our capital campaign information as well as an annual appeal that we normally do and let people know, hey, now it's your turn as the community to help us out with this big final stretch that we need to get to. And we plan on doing the renovation starting as early as 2024.
And can you kind of detail exactly what this will look like when finished?
Absolutely, yeah. We have well-loved carpet, well-loved flooring, well-loved walls, all of which need major renovation. So the exciting part is locker rooms will be completely renovated. Lower fitness area will have additional window space because it's kind of in a downstairs area that needs more light to be put in there. We'll have the flooring on the upper level is a carpeted space for the most part, as well as some tiled areas, but that will be all renovated. We're making another group exercise area because our silver sneakers class is in the morning. It's very exciting. We're squeezed in our group exercise room. We only have one that's been here since 1986. So we're actually going to be having two group exercise areas, just, again, renovating spaces that we currently have. We're going to be doing a little bit of flipping around in the first floor where we'll have an open, more open area. We have a lot of walls right now, which can easily be removed. We'll have newer furniture, some newer cardio equipment. Our treadmills and ellipticals, rowers are very well loved and have lasted a long time because of our wonderful facilities team that takes care of them meticulously and can repair anything. But those are going to be replaced, which is much needed. And the outside is going to have a little bit of a newer look to it. Just adding some logo, because right now we don't really have any DAC logos in the front that are permanent. And we're looking to do an outdoor multi-court space. So we're hoping to do a three-court pickleball area that can easily be a one-court, I think like a five-a-side almost soccer space where we can have a full-size court outside. And most excitingly is something that we had in the past but has been away from us for a little while is childcare. So we have a downstairs area that's going to be renovated into a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old childcare space. We used to have preschool years ago, and that program had changed, I think around 2013, but now we're ready to bring that back into the area. We know that there's a big need for childcare for that age range, and I myself had that challenges when I moved back to the area in 2018, so we hope to help out with that with an additional 30 spaces for childcare.
Okay. And over the course of the history here, longevity of directors seems to have been fairly, in other words, you haven't had 30 of them in 36 years. I mean, it's people have stayed on board.
Yeah, they have. So we had several in the beginning. I know the history of that. And then more recently, I came aboard in 2018. Something I think it's really important is when you have passion for a community and understand the value of a community center and how many people you serve, individuals, children, making it a safe space for teens and middle schoolers that might not have a great home environment. We're that space. We see a lot of kids here after school. We see them here on the weekends. The programs that we provide, the seniors that we see, we're another check space for that. And I think when you start to see who we serve, it just becomes a driving passion to be here and to be part of that and continue to support those programs and find ways to grow the programs and continue the programs. But it's very, very important.
Okay. And as far as the campaign, just update us again on the amount needed, amount raised so far, and how the rest is going to come in.
Yeah.
Or you hope.
Yeah, we hope. Keep our fingers crossed. Yeah, so we're almost at $1.2 million right now. Our goal is to be at $1.5. So we're very close, but we would love, love, love to hit that soon. Donations are always welcome. They can do it online at www.danvilleacc.com. They're welcome to drop off a check here at the front desk, mail it in. That's not a problem at all. And If you think of whether it's an individual donation, wonderful. If it's a company donation, wonderful. But we can accept donations in any way, shape, or form. And the goal is to hit our total project, which is about $2.5 million. And like I said, $1 million came from the RACP grant. The other portion is all matching dollars, which is $1.2 right now. So we're just striving to get towards that $1.5 total.
Okay. And how long has that plan been in the works? I mean, how did the interruption of COVID give pause to think about the future more, or how did that impact, if it did?
Definitely. We were able to kind of re-strategize, kind of figure out where we wanted to be when we grew up, I like to say. Pandemic really hit everyone hard, businesses, people, everyone was hit very hard. But we also had time to kind of figure out where did we want to be, what did we want to grow into, how could we change, how could we develop ourselves and develop the program in order to help this facility continue to serve everyone that we serve now and in the future. So, yeah, that really helped us reconfigure that. And we sat down with our board members and said, what do we want to do? How do we want to do it? And then that's when we started to meet more and more with different political figures in the area in order for them to come in and tour. We learned more about accessibility to larger grants, and that's kind of how it snowballed.
Again, we thank Heather Lawball, the COO of the Danville Area Community Center, for joining us on the program today to talk about the center and this capital campaign as they head towards the future. Again, if you want more information on the center, you can go to danvilleacc.com. That's danvilleacc.com. Heather, thanks for being with us on the program, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.